In the book of Luke, the fifth chapter, as we're turning there, and Brother Kendrick is keying there. You know, Brother Berglund taught a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. The audio was on our website. I was listening to it. He was comparing the ministries of Peter and Paul. And he began his teaching that night giving the comparative that everybody's so different. And I have a deep appreciation for the differences. And I'm so very thankful to the Lord for the various ministries that he has brought our way. And I hold each one of them in high respect and high regard. And sometimes the more different than me they are, the higher I respect them. Praise God. He didn't make any of us alike, did he? Amen. Luke 5 and 27. Luke 5 and 27. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Now, I love fellowship. I love to sit down and eat with people. And I like to visit and share within the body of Christ, because there is a commonality. There is a witness of the Spirit. And so we enjoy the company one of another for the most part when I'm doing well. You're doing well. And we're walking in agreement one with another. It's easy to meet on those grounds. But the minute I begin to falter, the minute I begin to fail, it's easy to withdraw from me. It's easy to put some distance, not be so available to me. Or me with you. Or somebody. I suppose it has something to do with our human nature a little bit, but you know, when all's well, hallelujah, let's get together and let's. But when things aren't so well and you're faltering and you're failing and I don't know. Man, what's going on with so-and-so? I don't know. There's, you know, that same old thing. So easy to draw away. So easy, you know. Rest of the guys are all doing great. Come on, let's get together. Let's go shoot some baskets. Let's go do, I don't even play basketball. Let's do something. Let's spend some time together. And so it is within our human nature. And so the publicans and the Pharisees charged the disciples and said in their statement, "What are you doing running around with publicans and sinners? You ought to be hanging with us. We're the religious right." You know, that was their attitude. That was their spirit, and that's what their words prevailed. Now let's jump to Luke chapter 15. Oh, you know what? I didn't even. Let's go back. Verse 31. Is there a 31? Yeah. That was my reason to get the scripture in the first place. Jesus answering and said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And so when Jesus looks upon the publicans and the sinners, he doesn't see them as people doing right or wrong. He sees them as somebody needing help, needing a physician, needing a hospital, needing a doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? And so the comparison now is the perspective of those royal robed Pharisees, and check, everything checks out, everything's right, we're doing everything right. They're doing things wrong. And the Lord is found walking in amongst them. His disciples eating with them. Which raises this question. Which brings this answer. They need me. They need a doctor. They need help. And I'm willing to help them. Now let's go to Luke chapter 15 at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, they are looking at him and they are casting judgment upon his behavior because of who he's willing to spend some time with. And so this reveals their heartbeat and their attitude to stay away from anybody that's not doing it their way or the right way, and to cloister together with all the righteous. And so the Lord attempts, not just one time, not with just one story, not with just one parable, but parable after parable, he's trying to reveal to them. Let me tell you, the attitude of heaven, if we can just get this one wayward child, this now, a lost sheep who has fallen out of the fold is somebody who's been in the fold. We're not just talking about reaching out to the lost of the world. The woman who lost the golden coin, the coin was something that she had had in possession with the other nine. And the comparative is the Lord saying, this is how heaven thinks. I've just heard how you think. I've just observed your attitude with your questions about my behavior, about my disciples' behavior. But let me tell you how I think. I'm preaching to me. Hang around and listen a while. I've noticed in me that there are times when a brother is doing well, I want to be right there with him. I want to be alongside him. I want him to go eat tacos with me. But there's been times when an individual's faltering and failing. Oh, I don't know if I got so much time for that situation. If they were just doing better, then. And I'm wondering, Where is that coming from? What kind of an attitude and a spirit is that in me? I don't want my attitude. I want his attitude. I want to follow his example. Likewise, he said three times, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. For me, it was Grandma. Grandma Myrtle Reisman was my bridge. When I needed a bridge, someone to help me to get to God, even when I knew that I was turning to God, my link up was not a direct link. Yes, I cried out to God. Yes, I guess I just cried out. I didn't know what else to do. I just knew I was sick. I needed to be whole. And I wanted to be whole. And so finally, after God's dealing with me, I wanted to turn to him. But in my turning to him, I was looking for a bridge. And so when it happened was because I was driving from Spokane back to Yakima. In my mind, I needed to find out wherever Grandma was, because Grandma was faithful. Grandma had a walk with God. All the cousins scorned her because she went to the house of God every time the doors were open. And to me, she was the real deal. To me, she was it. She had it. Even when Grandpa wasn't doing so well, Grandma was there. She was my bridge. I am so thankful that she was so anchored that when I went looking for a bridge, she could be that bridge. That even though other relatives, I won't list them, this is on tape, but whether aunts, uncles, cousins, some in my close family, had gained a distance away, and as far as I was concerned, they weren't living for God. Or what they had wasn't real enough for me. It wasn't what Grandma had. What she had was real. And I needed real. I don't know who it was. Or if there was. I would guess that there was somebody. I listened to Brother Bezrukchuk testify how his wife's father went to their city and preached and ministered and won his family to God. And he watched his own dad change. And so therefore there was a bridge. There was somebody that connected. Now, let me talk about that connection. I'm not interested in talking to the one that needs the bridge today. I'm talking to the bridge. Is the bridge strong? Are the footings deep? You ever seen when flood waters rise and those things that people were driving school buses across would all of a sudden, with just a little bit of water, and in a few hours, the foundations would erode, and all of a sudden, they would wash away. I thought they were anchored. I thought that thing was a bridge. I thought that thing was safe. But apparently, the things that the footings were poured into were shaky. Could be driven away with the wind and the rain and the moisture of the ground. It wasn't a sound bridge. For a moment, Can you think back and remember? Can you put a name on your bridge? Or were you able to just connect with you and God? It didn't matter what others were doing. It didn't matter what other people thought of you or accepted you, because you were connected to God. I didn't make it that way. There were people in my life that their soundness, to some degree, contributed to my developing soundness. And their weakness, to some degree, maybe contributed to developing weaknesses and occasion to falter. When one's faltered and they turn back, they don't go to that foundation that was weak. In their mind, they resolve who was the strongest. Where was the strongest? It's kind of like when your family members, you know, they tell you, oh yeah, we're all loving God. We're all worshiping the same God. Yes, and I was watching this show the other day. It's interesting, I find that a family member, that when deep trouble comes, they turn off the tube, they pick up the phone, and they want to know where you are and if you'll pray. They were trying to convince you of their Christianity 2 weeks ago. But there's something in your life that's told them they are a bridge. They are rooted deep. Their foundations are sure. They are still the same. Now, I don't mean to race ahead here, but I'm feeling this on myself. I got to say this. I want to talk about the prodigal son. But before I do, I want to talk about the prodigal's father. I get this visual. I don't know who this is for. Listen, it might not even be for you here. It might be for somebody out there in radio land. But think about this. The prodigal son, the son, has disconnected from the father's house. He's chose his own way. And at the expense of his decisions, he is at loss on this hand, and he's at loss on that hand, and things continue to unravel, and he gets lost up here. I've observed the effects of people's lostness in here to begin to affect them here, and that all of their judgment calls become so unsound and so shaky, and so it's almost like they're going crazy. Maybe they are. And so the prodigal, he starts, you know, he gets crazy. He's losing everything. And so then he thinks of a thought and pursues that thought. Maybe I'll go join myself to this guy. He doesn't know where he's going. He has no direction. And before he knows it, he has no food. He has nothing. There's nobody in his life to help him. And he's out there feeding pigs. And he don't know where to turn. And all at once, from somewhere, he starts thinking about Father's house. What's he thinking about Father's house? What's he remembering? He's remembering the security. Bread on the table, enough for everybody to eat. He's remembering the soundness and the love of a family. He's remembering all of these things and how dad was always dad. It was always the same things that he got bored with and wanted to go out and explore and find his own way were the very things that he was drawn back to. I'll go back home and it'll be the same. There'll be food on the table. This will be in place. That'll be in place.
I got this lingering thought. It's a haunting thought.
That when a prodigal child tries to go back to father's house, and father's decided, you know, we don't live that way anymore. Yeah, we don't preach that message anymore. We don't believe in holiness anymore. That was old fashioned. We're of the new generation. We're emerging. And I got this haunting thought of a child saying, I didn't even recognize this place. I came back to find the bridge, and the bridge was washed away. Because the bridge is an individual. The bridge is a people. I'm acquainted with some scenarios. I have watched and I have condemned when people try to build their relationship with God based on their relationship with the priest. I've condemned that. I've observed individuals, good men, who built their relationship with God on their based their relationship with God on their relationship with me. And if they thought that they were in my good graces, then they must be in God's good graces. And so they were doing all right. And I discouraged that. I condemned that, and I did all I could to destroy that and remove myself from that. Some people need a bridge. I realized the other day that there was an individual who at one time was very founded. I thought rather strong. Matter of fact, he was put in a position of leadership of other people. But something happened in this scenario, and what brought strength to his life wasn't bringing strength to his life. And so in his weakness, in his faltering, he began to fail, even in the midst of being in the house. Faltering to a place that the thought process was affected. Losing his way and losing track on not just right and wrong, what was sound and what was shaky and which way do I go? And I observed recently him beginning to take action. It wasn't him taking action on his own responsibility to God. It wasn't him shaking himself and saying, I can't do that. That's wrong. I got to be right. I got to do right. I got to stand right. It wasn't him doing any of that. Here's what it was. He was looking in the darkness, trying to get back to finding that foundation, that bridge. It was down deep in the ground that he remembered. I used to be connected to this bridge, but since I lost the connection to the bridge, I'm faltering and I don't know where I'm going. And where is that bridge? And there were individuals in his life and in his meager attempts trying to reconnect. Hey man, come over here and help me. I need you to help me with something. Even in a condemning way, trying to convict the person and convince him that he should be over there helping him. Here's what I discovered. All he's doing is reaching back to a moment in time in his own past. And the moment in time was the place where he had become disconnected. Somebody's got to be that bridge. You're the bridge. There's people in your life that frustrate you to no end because it seems like their choices, their decisions, it's lunacy. And you know, you just watch their walk and it's faltering and you're thinking, what are they going to come back to? If there's going to be a returning, if there's going to be a prodigal that comes to himself and begins to go back in memory and remember the soundness, the surety, where things were true, they were secure, and my thought process was far clearer than it is right now. Are we going to be the same? Are we going to be what they remember? Are you to them what they remember that brought such security? I know it's the right thing for them to develop a personal relationship with God. But in the weakness of humanity, we discover it's like, man, if you're doing great and they're connected to you, they feel like they're doing great. We tell kids, look, you can't live for God through your parents. You got to live for God for yourself. But in the same breath, in the same token, what's mom and dad doing? Stay sure. Stay true. Be that anchor. Be that bridge. Because in the weakness of humanity, when people sometimes if they don't find a bridge, they'll never make it back to God. That haunting thought just continues to permeate me of a prodigal returning not just to father's house, but the memory of the old way. The memory of those things that were established and true and pure and right. Inconvenient sometimes, but they were true. For some people, man, it seems like it's eons of time. It's tens of years. What people go through, kids go through. And then they come to a place, and now it becomes their idea to live for a God. They turn and they go looking. And if what was sound and secure back then has become washed away with every wind of doctrine, where will they end up? I don't know if this even makes sense to you tonight, today. But I must preach this to myself. I must know with a surety and resolve within myself, I have to remain that bridge. Jesus and his disciples were the bridge to a lost people. They would never turn to those Pharisees and scribes who were constantly riddling off Scripture in their face. That's another message for another day. Would you stand with me? need a bridge. In the book of Ruth, the first chapter, verse 10, I'd like to read this to you. Orpah and Ruth had married the sons of Naomi. Process of time and circumstances, those sons were no longer alive. But see, they married into a situation when they connected with Naomi through their marriage to her sons. The people who they were associated with and their lineage had no connection. And so, Naomi, in what she feels like is the right thing to do, begins to tell them to go back to their people. They said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown up? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law to leave. But Ruth grabbed a hold of the cement pillar that held that bridge. And she said, "Behold, my sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after my son, sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." Thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. So how important are you? Your own personal stability, how important is it to others? People need a bridge. This altar's open. I would like to avail it to you. People need a bridge.
Help me, I'm falling. Does anybody hear me calling out? I'm calling out for help. I'm in too deep. myself, or I'd save myself, for I need someone to help me. Help me, I'm calling. Does anybody hear me calling?
Does anybody hear me calling?
for me. Preach it straight to me. Show God's word.